When you think about property investment, your mind probably goes to mortgages, physical buildings, maybe land deeds. For the longest time, that was it.
It was. If you wanted to be a real estate investor, you needed, well, a huge amount of capital and a whole network of people.
But those days they're quickly fading. The whole conversation has just fundamentally changed.
Absolutely. So today we're doing a deep dive into that digital evolution of property investing. We're looking at how technology has just shattered that barrier to entry.
Meaning you no longer need, a fortune to get in the game.
Exactly. And you're exploring the two models that really dominate this new conversation: property tokenization and property crowdfunding.
Right. They're both pitched as the shortcuts to becoming a real estate investor without all the old headaches.
And that is precisely our mission today. We want to give you the clearest possible view, based on the sources you found, of what really separates these two very powerful methods.
Because at first glance, they look so similar, don't they?
Deceptively similar.
I mean, both let you pool your money with others, get into big projects with way less capital, and this is the big one, they both promise passive income without you having to be a landlord.
No chasing rent checks, no fixing leaky roofs.
Yeah.
They share that desired outcome for sure. But the machinery underneath, well, it's worlds apart. We really have to focus on how they define ownership, investor control, transparency, and maybe most importantly, your flexibility down the line.
So it's the difference between buying a share in the company versus what buying a piece of the actual building.
You've got it. That's the core distinction.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's find out what really makes them tick.
Sounds good.
So let's start with the basic structure.
Yeah.
Just explaining the model simply. Crowdfunding seems like the place to begin. It's a bit more familiar to most people.
It is. Crowdfunding uses a structure that's, very common in traditional finance. It pools money from, well, it could be thousands of investors, all to fund one specific real estate project.
Like a new apartment building or a commercial development.
Exactly. And in return for your capital, you receive a contractual right. That's the key phrase, a contractual right to a share of the income or the profits from that project.
And the detail there that I think a lot of people just gloss over is what you don't own. You don't actually own the building.
Precisely. The individual investor does not own the physical asset. Ownership almost always sits with a corporate entity, something called a special purpose vehicle or an SPV.
The SPV.
And this SPV, it acts as the intermediary. It's the legal owner. So your relationship is actually with the company that runs the SPV, not with the bricks and mortar.
That SPV concept is so important to grasp. It's like a legal firewall in a way.
It is. And the benefit is that it legally isolates that specific asset. So if the crowdfunding platform itself gets into financial trouble, the building is shielded.
Okay, but getting your money out might still be complicated.
It might be complicated, yeah.
So let's compare that to tokenization, where this blockchain element just changes the whole dynamic.
Right. Tokenization takes that same physical asset, say a skyscraper, and digitally divides it. It gets broken into maybe thousands, even millions of these fractional units called tokens.
And these tokens live on a blockchain.
They live on the blockchain, and each token represents a defined, specific ownership interest that's recorded transparently and, crucially, immutably.
So, okay, instead of a contract that says we owe you a slice of the profit, I get a digital thing that says you own this tiny fraction of the actual building.
That is the core difference, yes. With tokenization, you hold an asset-backed token. It is, in effect, a digital share certificate tied directly to the underlying property.
And that record can't be changed later by anyone, not even the platform.
Correct. So just from that setup, you can already see three huge differences that kind of dictate everything else.
Okay, lay them on for us.
One, the ownership model. TKN is fractional ownership through a digital token. CF is contractual participation. Two, asset linkage. TKN has a direct verifiable link to the specific property. CF is indirect through that SPV structure.
And the third.
The technology base. Tokenization relies on the blockchain, on smart contracts. Crowdfunding uses, more traditional digital platforms and standard financial agreements.
So that ownership structure really is the foundation for everything else. It defines all your rights as an investor.
It is the single most important factor. With crowdfunding, your rights are all defined by the platform's terms. You're looking at, often very long, complex legal agreements.
And you've basically handed over all the control.
You have. You rely entirely on that platform to manage the asset, handle the money, and eventually execute the exit. Your say in things is pretty limited.
Tokenization, though, seems to promise a clear definition of ownership from day one. How does that actually play out in practice?
Well, think of it this way. With tokenization, your fractional stake and your rights, like getting your share of the rent, they aren't just in a contract somewhere. They are literally encoded into the token itself.
Which cuts down on any gray area.
A lot of it. And the records are verifiable on-chain. You don't have to just trust the platform's quarterly report to prove you own what you own.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. Flexibility. What happens if my situation changes and I need to get my money out?
A huge consideration.
Yeah, let's say I need my capital back in a year, but the project was planned for a 5-year hold. What happens in crowdfunding?
In that crowdfunding model, your ability to exit early is, well, it's typically very restricted or just non-existent.
Oh, I'm locked in.
You're often locked in waiting for that single platform-defined event, a sale, a refinance, whatever they planned. Your capital is completely tied to the asset's timeline.
So if there's a delay and the project takes an extra year, my money is stuck for an extra year and there's not much I can do.
Exactly. Your liquidity depends entirely on their timeline. Tokenization, on the other hand, it separates your ownership from those fixed project timelines.
How so?
Because your ownership is this verifiable digital thing, these tokens. They can be transferred. They can be sold to another investor.
Okay, but hold on. That sounds great in theory. But if I want to sell my token, doesn't that completely depend on some kind of secondary market existing?
That is a critical point.
I mean, what if nobody's buying the token for my specific building that day? Isn't the stability of the fixed crowdfunding timeline actually a benefit in some ways?
That's a fantastic challenge, and the sources really dig into this. Crowdfunding offers predictability of process. You know when the end date is supposed to be.
Right.
Tokenization offers predictability of agency. You have the ability to try and exit when you want. The secondary market for tokens is still maturing. Liquidity is definitely not guaranteed.
But the option is there.
The option is there. Even if you have to sell at a discount, you have that choice. In many crowdfunding deals, you just don't.
And that separation of ownership from the project, that must simplify the legal side of things too.
It does. Tokenization frameworks tend to standardize the rules for transfers and income because they have to be coded. With crowdfunding, you're parsing a brand new, lengthy, custom legal document for every single investment. It's a lot.
Okay, so we've covered the structure, the ownership, the exit. Let's shift to the bottom line. What does all this mean for the actual money, the income, the fees that chip away at it?
Right. Both models are designed for passive income, but they differ a lot in, say, reliability and clarity.
How so?
Crowdfunding income is distributed based on those predefined agreements. Your returns are often presented as projected yields.
Projections, meaning they're based on a whole set of assumptions.
Exactly. Assumptions about future occupancy, expenses, the final sale price. You are relying very heavily on a forecast holding true for years.
Which doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen. Tokenization, on the other hand, links your income more directly to the real-time performance of the asset. Rental income gets distributed proportionally based on your exact share.
And it's all verified on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm. This often leads to more frequent payouts, which is a huge appeal for people looking for that consistent passive income stream, not just a big payout at the end.
You hear the term smart contract thrown around a lot with this. Can you just quickly explain how that works here?
Sure. A smart contract is just a self-executing contract with the terms written directly into code. So the code might say, when rent is collected, 80% is immediately distributed to all token holders.
So when the condition is met, the rent comes in, the payout just happens automatically.
Automatically, transparently, and immediately. It reduces the need to trust the platform's accounting department to cut checks.
That feels like a massive advantage for transparency.
Yeah.
But let's talk about fees. That's where returns can get, you know, quietly sliced and diced.
Oh, yeah. Fee transparency is a huge differentiator. Crowdfunding fees are often layered. You've got platform fees, asset management fees, performance fees.
Sometimes even an exit fee on top of all that.
Right. And they're charged at different times, acquisition, management, exit, which makes it really hard to figure out the total cost to your net return.
But wait, the sources also point out that many of these crowdfunding platforms are older, more established firms. They fall under existing financial regulations. Does TKN's transparency really outweigh that kind of regulatory oversight?
That is a great question. While crowdfunding definitely has regulatory maturity, tokenization offers a kind of structural clarity. Because the smart contracts automate things, the fees are often built right into those visible transaction flows.
So you can see them happening in real time.
You can monitor them. It doesn't mean the fees are necessarily lower. That depends on the platform. But the clarity of those costs is usually much higher.
And what about control? We kind of touched on this. CF investors don't have much. Is it any different with TKN?
You're not the property manager in either model, let's be clear. But TKN holders gain agency through that flexibility. A CF investor commits their funds, and that's pretty much it.
You just have to trust them.
You do. A token holder, while still passive, has this immediate visibility and the flexibility to manage their own position, to sell, to transfer, without needing the whole project to end. It's control over your own investment timeline, not the building itself.
Okay, so let's connect all this to the bigger picture. We have to talk about risk.
Of course. No model is without risk, but the nature of that risk is really different between the two.
With crowdfunding, it seems like the biggest risk is just being so dependent on the platform itself.
Absolutely. Imagine a worst-case scenario where the platform goes bankrupt. Your claim on the asset is protected by that SPV, but you've lost your manager. You've lost your access point.
So getting your capital back could be a long, messy legal process.
It could be. You're dependent on receivership, on courts. It could take years.
Okay, but tokenization adds a whole other layer of complexity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Technological risk. What if a platform gets hacked or there's a bug in the smart contract?
This is the trade-off. TKN investors have to assess platform security, legal recognition of their token, custody arrangements. If a TKN platform fails, the record of your ownership on the blockchain is still safe and immutable. But if your own security is poor, if you lose the digital key to your tokens, you could lose access to your asset entirely. The risk shifts from trusting the manager to trusting your own technological security.
So in crowdfunding, I'm worried about the asset manager messing up. In tokenization, I'm worried about securing my own digital key and whether a court will even recognize my token as ownership if things go sideways.
Precisely. The transparency of the blockchain, that continuous visibility, it doesn't eliminate risk. It just changes it. You're basically trading reliance on human oversight for reliance on a technological framework.
But it's a completely different mindset.
It is. So to synthesize all this, the core conclusion really isn't about which model is better. It's about which one fits your own expectations.
Right. Your expectations for ownership, transparency, and how involved you want to be.
Exactly. Crowdfunding simplifies access using established legal structures. Tokenization, it's really trying to redefine ownership itself using digital infrastructure.
It really makes you ask yourself, am I buying a contractual promise or am I buying a piece of an asset?
That's the question.
Okay, so just to quickly hit on some common questions. Both models offer passive income, but it sounds like TKN aligns that income more directly with the asset's real-time performance.
Correct. And that can mean more frequent distributions. As for safety, that's less about the model and more about the quality of the platform, the regulation they follow, and of course, the quality of the underlying property.
And for long-term investors.
If you want a fixed timeline and you're comfortable with traditional legal structures, crowdfunding works well. If you want ongoing exposure, clearer ownership, and that flexible exit option, tokenization is probably better suited for long-term planning.
The knowledge gain here is just immense. It really forces you to look past the low entry fee and think about the actual foundation of your investment.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're weighing your options, here's a final thought that you want. While crowdfunding really benefits from being familiar and having that regulatory history, tokenization's focus on defining ownership right at the asset level. Well, that could fundamentally change the very definition of property rights in the next decade, not just for investors, but for governments, for legal systems.
That shift from trusting a document to trusting code.
Exactly. That shift is something really powerful to mull over.